You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast. For this week, I would like to take a look at Mizmor Kuf Lamed Gimel, one of the Mizmorim of the series of Mizmorim which start Shir HaMa'alot. This one, which is all of three psukim long, is fairly well known, particularly the first pasuk. And I have to say, it's one of the Mizmorim in the book of Tehillim, which is just, it's just pleasant to teach it. Because while many Mizmorim in Tehillim are very difficult, weighty, distressing topics at times, this Mizmor, while of a very important topic, is a nice topic, a topic which just gives off good feelings. And no surprise that the first pasuk is about pleasantness, about goodness. Hine matov u'manaim shevet achim gam yachad. How good and how pleasant when brothers dwell together. Right? A very famous pasuk. Right? No surprise that it is a pasuk which has been set to so many different melodies. Because again, it's a message that is just nice. So what I would like to do today is to understand that pasuk in the context of the two psukim which come after it, to try to understand what does the Mizmor say about this topic, right? In what way? How? Is it good and pleasant when brothers dwell together, right? What exactly is the goodness and the pleasantness of this situation? Hine matov u'manaim shevet achim gam yachad. Many mefarshim, starting with the Midrash, all the way through the classical mefarshim, try to figure out which brothers are being referred to here, right? Who exactly is the Mizmor referring to? So, for example, you have many of the Mefarshim suggesting that we're talking about Aharon and Moshe. This stems in part from the fact that in Pasuk Bet, as we'll see in a moment, Aharon is mentioned by name. And so the theory goes, right, and that that the brothers that are being spoken about here are Aharon and Moshe, and why are they this paradigm of matov u'manaim shevet achim gam yachad, of brothers dwelling together in a good and pleasant way? This is expressed nicely, for example, in the Midrash Tanchuma, although it's found in various forms in various Midrashim and also in later Parshanut. Kemoshe v'Aharon, sheneemar hine matov u'manaim v'gomer, shehayu ohavim ze laze u'mechavevim ze laze, shebeshaa shenatal Moshe et ha-malchut, v'Aharon kuhuna gedola lo kanu ze laze, ela hayu smechin, ze begdulat ze, v'ze begdulat ze. Right, so what is being described here? That here you have two brothers, both were leaders, right? But there was no jealousy between them, right? There was they each ruled in their own area, and even if and there was no jealousy between them. Some mifrashim, for example, Rabbeinu Bechaya mention on the pasuk where Hashem tells Moshe that he should return to Mitzrayim, and Aharon will greet him, and he will be happy, meaning Aharon will be happy to greet him. Right? Rabbeinu Chaya mentions this pasuk, Hinei matov u'manaim shevet achim gam yachad, that even though Moshe, who was the younger brother, got the greater tafkid, he was considered more important in many ways than Aharon, nevertheless, there was no jealousy on the part of Aharon. Right? That there was a beautiful, balanced, pleasant relationship between these two brothers in a place where there could have been otherwise. Right, so that's one example of an attempt by Parshanut to understand who are the brothers here who are dwelling together. Another example, also found in the Midrash, quoted by, for example, the Radak, is that what we're referring to here are the Kohen Gadol and the Melech, which is similar actually to the first explanation that we saw, right? Moshe and Aharon, Moshe being like a melech and Aharon being the Kohen Gadol, but not talking about them. Rather, again, this is found in the Midrash quoted by the Radak, talking about a Kohen Gadol and a king later on in Jewish history, mentioned in the book of Zechariah, right? In the famous prophecy in the book of Zechariah, Perek Yud where Zechariah mentions that Yehoshua HaKohen HaGadol and Zerubbabel, right, would rule together, and again there would be this balanced relationship between these two rulers, between the Kohen HaGadol and the more political leader of Am Yisrael. Radak also mentions that perhaps this is referring to the same relationship in the future, right? In the days of the Mashiach, right? When the Melech HaMashiach and the Kohen Gadol, whomever that will be, in the future, will have this perfect balanced relationship between them, right? That's another possibility. The Malbim takes a different approach, also looking for two brothers. I should mention that the opinion expressed by the Radak, right, there, it's not brothers in the literal sense, not like Aharon and Moshe who were actually brothers, but brothers in the broader sense, right? Two different members of Am Yisrael, let's say, who are dwelling together in peace. The Malbim, right, also suggests brothers. Here again, going back to two actual literal brothers, in his case, he suggests that we're talking about Issachar and Zvulun, right? Who, according to the Midrashic reading of the Brachot of Yaakov to his sons, right? There's the famous relationship between Issachar and Zvulun, that Zvulun was the brother who would sit and learn, who would run the business, basically, right? He's his symbol is that of the boat, right? The merchant. Whereas Yisachar, right? He was the brother who would sit and learn Torah, and each would kind of support each other, right? One with the business and one with the learning of Torah. And hence they had this symbiotic relationship where one would give the other what the other was lacking, right? That, according to the Malbim, are the achim that are sitting together in a relationship which is matov u'manaim. Other mifrashim take this in a slightly different way. For example, in the commentary of the Dat Mikra, they suggest that what is being spoken about here is a group of people, right, members of Am Yisrael, who are going up, Aliyah LeRegel, to Yerushalayim. You might be familiar somewhat with the Perush of Dat Mikra on Tehillim, and I've mentioned it in the course of podcasts a number of times. Very often they try to see what is the context in which any given mizmor would have been said, right? For what reason was this mizmor written? When was it originally used? And so they suggest here that it was being used during an aliyah l'regel to Yerushalayim. And this group that is going up to Yerushalayim for aliyah l'regel, right? These are the brothers who are dwelling together, right? We're all familiar with the camaraderie that often develops when a group of people is embarked on some sort of journey or in some sort of experience together. And that, according to Dat Mikra, is what is being spoken of here, right? That feeling of joy, of happiness, of togetherness, of this group of people all going up to Yerushalayim together. Elsewhere, there are those who take a similar idea, saying that it's describing the situation of the Aliyah LeRegel in general, right? Of seeing all of Am Yisrael coming together to Yerushalayim for the holiday. One last way of looking at the Mizmor, this Pasuk, who are the brothers that we are referring to, can be seen in the Perush of the Mitzudat David, who in a certain sense takes the simplest approach. He says, Hine matov, ma ma'od tov u ma ma'od na'im hadavar kasher yeshvu al admatam kol beit Yisrael hanikra'im achim legol delachva shebeneihem. Right? Talking about all of Am Yisrael, who are the brothers who are dwelling together? Am Yisrael, the entire nation. How wonderful and beautiful it is when we are all dwelling together, unified in Eretz Yisrael. Then he goes on, Gam Yachad, V'yihyu Gam Yachad b'melchut achat, v'lo yachatzu l'shtei mamlachot od. Right? Again, referring to after the kingdom was split in two, after the days of Shlomo HaMelech, right? So how nice it is when they can be back together again as one nation dwelling together. This being possibly the most broad way of understanding, that we're talking about the achdut of all of Am Yisrael. One moment. For the purposes of this shiur, I'd like to just stick with the general approach. Not to say that the others aren't good ways of understanding the mizmor, but the pasuk doesn't really specify any particular brothers, right? It seems to be a very broad, general statement. Hinei matov u'manaim shevet achim, all brothers, any brothers, gam yachad. And what I would like to try to understand is what is the mizmor trying to say? Why is it tov and na'im when brothers are together? What is it that happens when achim are dwelling together that is so tov and so na'im? And I would venture to say that whatever conclusions we can come to regarding that question can be true for any one of the specific examples that the various mefarshim suggest. Now, in the continuation of the mizmor, we have two more psukim, each one which presents a certain image, which is in some way supposed to explain what is tov and what is na'im about brothers dwelling together. The first one, pasuk bet, kashemen hatov al harosh yored al hazakan zikan aharon sheyored al pi midotav. Right? First I'll explain what the image that is here. It is like the oil, the good oil, right? Some Mefarshim point out kashemen, right? It's with the kind of the hey hayidiyah is hidden in there, in that kaf. The oil, the good oil. What is the good oil? The shemen hamishcha, the pure olive oil that was used for anointing purposes, which was placed on the head of Aharon, right? And it goes down, it would drip down from the head of Aharon onto his beard. Right? I mentioned before that Aharon is mentioned by name, so here is Aharon mentioned, onto the beard of Aharon, and from there it drips down on Midotav, right? Midotav being his clothing, right? So it drips down from the top of his head down onto his beard and then onto his clothing, right? So the image of the oil kind of like spreading slowly downward, flowing from the top to the bottom. That is the image that is presented here, the first one. Right? We'll speak more about that in a moment. The next pasuk, Ketal Chermon, Sheyored al Hararet Zion, right? Like the dew of the Chermon, which descends upon the mountains of Zion. Now, I think that each of these images is fairly clear, right? We can pretty much understand what each of them is talking about. The first image calls to mind the anointing of Aharon, when the Kohen Gadol was anointed, right? Indeed, olive oil was placed upon his head. There are psukim in the Torah which describe this, right? We talk about Moshe putting the olive oil on Aharon's head. It doesn't have the details that we see here of it dripping down to his beard, of it going onto his clothing. I don't know if this is meant to kind of fill in what's not mentioned in the Torah, or if it's just some sort of poetic image based on the idea of Moshe anointing Aharon when he became the Kohen Gadol. The second image, right, the dew coming down from the Chamon onto the mountains of Zion. This image also, generally speaking, is fairly clear, although there are some details that are a little bit difficult. Some of the more scientifically oriented commentaries that I looked at mentioned that what is the meaning of the word tal here in this case? One particularly scientifically oriented commentary says that there isn't actually too much tal on the Chermon. I'm not familiar enough with the Chermon to know this myself firsthand, but I would take their word for it, right? That for whatever reason, meteorological reasons, tal does not form that much on the Chermon. But what we're talking about here really is rain, or often as we know that in the Chermon they actually have a lot of snow. But that's okay, because sometimes tal in Tanakh doesn't necessarily mean just tal, mean dew. It can mean, you know, some other sort of precipitation that comes out of the sky. And indeed, and there are there are various psukim, I'm not going to go into the details right now, which can support this notion. And there actually are in cognate languages, right, languages that are related to Hebrew, where the equivalent of the word tal actually means rain, and not just dew, right? So we can accept that what we're talking about here is rain. And the idea that, you know, even today we're familiar with the idea that much of the rainfall, right, if it rains in the Hermon, or even more so if it snows in the Hermon, the water trickles down to the areas of Eretz Yisrael directly below it. It helps with the filling up the Kinneret. Really, these are ideas that anyone living in Israel today is aware of, even if they're living far south of the Hermon. There are some Mefarshim who have difficulty with the fact that, nevertheless, right, the water of the Hermon doesn't come to Hararet Sion if you're taking the word Sion literally, right? If you're talking about Hare Yerushalayim, right, the water from the Hermon doesn't actually come down to Hare Yerushalayim. But nevertheless, right, there are ways of dealing with that. Either that you know, it could be in a more metaphorical sense, right, that it provides water for much of the land, right, Sion often being representative of not just the specific mountain Sion, but of, you know, Eretz Yisrael in general. One other way that people understand the Mizmor is it's katal Hermon, it's like the dew or the rain of Hermon, and that the word tal is meant to be repeated, katal sheyored al hararet Zion, right? That you have the water of the northern mountain, the water coming down on the northern mountain of the Hermon, and you also have the water coming down onto the mountains of Zion, right? So if that makes people feel more comfortable with the realia of how rainfall actually happens in the country, fine. But otherwise, you could still appreciate the image of the water coming down from the highest mountain, right, in the north, and trickling down to all of the land. And it's actually an image which is nicely parallel to the image of Pasuk Bet, right, where it starts at the head, and it slowly... it slowly works its way down. You know, so to the water from the north working its way downward, right? The image doesn't have to necessarily be literally true to be understandable, to be appreciated for what it is. Now the question is, once we understand more or less what these images are, is, well, what do they have to do with each other? And what do they have to do with the first pasuk? Well, what they have to do with each other, one possibility we already suggested, right? That what we have here are parallel images, right? Images of something starting at the top and working its way downward, right? And we could even say something positive, right? We're not only talking about like a liquid, right? But both shemen and rain, right, both oil and rain, have positive connotations generally throughout Tanakh. And so these positive things are starting upward and they are flowing down, they are trickling down, downward, spreading out. Right, so that's one, you know, way of seeing the connection. Another possible way of seeing the connection, right, other than, right, that we're talking about parallel images, right, things that are initially the same, is to see them as things that are comparison in a different way. Right, I'll explain what I mean in a moment. You'll notice that the beginning of each of these psukim, right, starts with the kaf, right, ka shemen hatov kit tal chermon. Some Mefarshim suggest, right, you see this in Rashi, you see this in other places as well, including the Dat Mikra commentary, that sometimes when you have that form in Tanakh, again, it's a way of comparing the two. Just as something, 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 so too something, 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 right? One example of this can be found in the Torah when the Torah discusses the laws of the judges, what the judges must do and what they mustn't do, right? It says that all people have to be judged equally. It doesn't matter if they're important, if they're not important, if they're the richest person in town, the poorest person in town, they all have to be judged equally. And the phrase that is used there is kakaton kagadol, right? The small is like the big, right? The less important person and the more important person, they're all the same, right? Kaze, kaze. this is like that. So that's what there's some suggestion you have here as well, right? That the Shemen coming down onto from Aaron's head downward is the same as, needs to be viewed in the same way, or should be the same as, the Tal coming down on the Hermon down towards Har Etzion. So for example, the Dad Mikra commentary, where they have a rather different way of looking at the Mizmor than most of the other Mefreshim, they're suggesting, right, recall that according to Dat Mikra commentary, the Shevet Achim Gam Yachad is referring to this chabura of people going on Aliyah Haregel to Yerushalayim. So the commentary there suggests that the continuation of the Mizmor is sort of like a tefillah, a prayer of sorts, regarding what they are generally doing. Right, we're heading off towards Yerushalayim now, and they're kind of saying a tefillah of good wishes of what their hopes are for the following year. Right? There's a suggestion in the commentary that perhaps what we're talking about here is Aliyah L'Regel on Sukkot specifically, or maybe even something connected to the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, right? Where you'll recall that during the holiday of Sukkot, that's when it is believed we are judged for the rainfall, right? It's the beginning of the rainy season, right? And so what is going on here? As they're going up to Yerushalayim in this feeling of camaraderie, their wishes for the new year are Kashemen Hatov al Rosh HaYored al Zakan Zakan Aron, just like the Shemen, which descends from the head and drips down, spreads down to Aaron's beard and to his clothing, so too, Kital Chermon Sheyored al Har Etzion. This is what the rain should be like. Right? And we should all say Amen, right? Right? We're all familiar with this wish that we should have a year of abundant rain, right? So that's what's going on here, right? At the beginning of the rainy season, the wish is that just as kach v'kach v'kach, just as the oil spreads down from Aaron's head downward, so too should be the situation of the rainfall from the Hermon down to Har Etzion. And then the Mizmor continues, Ki sham tziva Hashem et habracha, because there in Tzion, that is where the bracha is meant to be, right? Chayim ad olam, right? And so basically, this is a heartfelt wish, a tefillah for the upcoming year. Something nice that they're all hoping for as they go up to Yerushalayim. Even if you don't understand the Mizmor in this way, right? And like I said, there are many other ways of understanding the Mizmor. The way that this commentary explains the connection between Pasuk Bet and Pasuk Gimel shows that these two Pasukim are meant to be seen in a certain sense as parallel to each other, right? That we have two images that are very similar to each other being described in these two Pasukim. But what about the other ways of understanding the Mizmor, right? If we're talking about, if the Mizmor starts off by talking about Hinei Matov U'Maneim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad, right? What does this have to do? If we're talking about the relationship of the brothers, be it brothers in general or specific brothers, right? What is the connection to these two images that we have here? So what I'd like to suggest is that somehow these two images, these two parallel images, are somehow supposed to indicate to us what is it about Shevet Achim Gam Yachad that is so nice. I think the key to understanding how these things connect come from the very last part of Pasuk Gimel. Right after the image of the water spreading down to Har Etzion, it says Ki Sham Tziva Hashem Et HaBracha, that the image of the rainfall coming down upon Har Etzion, right? Kisham, because there in Har Etzion is where the bracha is. That's where Hashem wants the bracha to be, right? And so, therefore, it is necessary, right? The pasuk seems to be implying, right, that that's where the rainfall falls down to, right? Eventually, in the image of Pasuk Gimel. The Mitzudat David, right, who, as you might recall, gives the very general understanding of Hinei Matov Manayim Shevetekim Achim Gam Yachad, that we're talking about all of Am Yisrael living as one nation in Eretz Yisrael with one Malchut, he understands the continuation of the Mizmor as talking about the influence of having one Malchut. Right? What is it like when everyone is dwelling together with one leader, right, unified under one leader? So what does he describe? Right, kashemen hatov v'harei hadavar domeh kashemen hamishcha hanatun al harosh b'shefa b'shefa rav ad ki yered misham al hazakan v'hu zakan aron shehaya harishon lahanimshachim v'shemen hamishcha. Right, that when everybody is living together, it is like, in some way, the shemen which is upon the head, right, and drips down. We've seen that before, and then he continues. His explanation. Virotze lomar ki shemen hamishcha ki im hayanatun al harosh levad mikol makom ba hashemen mimenu al mekomot mechulafot al ki hema dvukot ze baze ki im kol beit Yisrael achat v'rosh achad lahem. Right. So what's the image? What's the nimshal of this image, so to speak? What is the image trying to suggest? Right. It's like when the oil is put upon the rosh, the nation has one head, meaning the one leader, the king, and who is anointed, but the oil spreads downward and kind of like sticks everybody together. It encompasses, anoints all of the nation together. V'rosh echad lahem titchalek az hashefa lekulam be'emtzaut hamelech hamekabel hashefa berishona. Right, so then the shefa, the overflowing, the plentifulness, right, is divided among everybody, amongst everybody, although the source is from the king who was the one who received the shefa, right, the overflow, the plentifulness originally. Right, that's the image according to the Mitzvot David. And then he says, this is similar to, and this is like the second image, Ketal Chermon, Kemo Hatal HaYored Mehar Chermon Al HaRetzion HaNimuchi Mimenu, Ki Ba'a HaShefa Be'emtzut HaMelech Liyeter HaAm. Right, that, and this is also like when the water comes upon the Chermon and then gradually flows down to HaRetzion, which are lower than it, right, lower than the Chermon, right, this is like the Shefa which comes through the Melech down to the rest of the nation. And then he says, Kisham, right, the last pasuk, Kisham, where is Sham? Bitzion, Tziva Hashem et habracha v'hachayim ad olam, rotze lomar, Bitzion ba shefa, v'tachel rishona al ha-melech ha-molech ba, u'mimenu yushpa al b'nei ha-am, v'lachen tov ha-davar sheyu l'achadim. Right, so the second half of pasuk Gimel is kind of already the nimshal, right, the explanation of all of these images, right, that the shefa, all of the plentifulness, the bracha, comes down first in Tzion, meaning in Yerushalayim, which is where the king is, and then it spreads out from there. Right, sort of like a Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah, right? So this is instead like Ki Mitzion Tetzei Bracha Vashefa. And that, I think, is, even if you don't want to understand it specifically in the manner of the Mitzudat David, that what we're talking about here is necessarily talking about the greatness of a king, right? Although it certainly could be understood that way, but it could also be understood perhaps as to what is the nature of Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. And to understand this better, I think we have to go back to the word bracha, right? In the end, again, in the end of Pasuk Gimel, Kisham Tziva Hashem Et HaBracha. The word bracha, right, I think, is the word which encapsulates the two images of Pasuk Bet and Pasuk Gimel. Right, in both of these images, right, we have an overflowing, a pouring out from one location, and a spreading down to others. Right, the oil on the one hand and the tal on the other hand. Right, and the word bracha, right, is a perfect encapsulation of this image of the overflow, of something which is given to somebody else, right, from a sense of abundance. Now, the word bracha is an interesting word, and I don't have the time in the context of this podcast to get to the bottom of the word bracha. The etymology of where the word bracha, blessing, comes from is a very interesting question, subject of debate. But what is clear, regardless of what the actual etymology of the word is, that the word bracha is often associated with shefa. Right? Somebody has something, and the giving of a bracha is a giving over of some of the shefa, some of the overflow to somebody else. Right? A few quick examples of this for example, when Hashem says to Avraham in Parshat Lech Lecha, right, Veheye Beracha, you will be a blessing, right? So there, all the Mefarshim scurry around trying to understand what does it mean, you will be a blessing? How is one meant to be a blessing? Particularly since Hashem already said earlier, and I will bless you. So one of the possibilities that arises, Rashi says, Veheye Beracha, habrachot nitunot biyadcha. עד עכשיו היו בידי, ברכתי את אדם ואת נוח ואותך, מעכשיו אתה תברך את אשר תחפוץ. Right? Right before this, in the Pasuk, Hashem says, Va'avarechecha, I will bless you, Avraham. And now Rashi says, Veheye bracha, and then you now have to bless others. Right? This sense of you are now filled up with bracha, it is now your job to hand the bracha over to other people. Right? Similar understandings could be of this to this can be seen, for example, in Birka Kohanim, where it says, Visamu et shmi al b'nei Israel va'ani avarachem. Right? The Kohanim will place the name of Hashem, meaning they will bless b'nei Israel using Hashem's name. Va'ani avarachem, I will bless them, right? There's a machloket, again, trying to understand who is Hashem blessing, right? Is Hashem saying, I will then bless B'nai Israel myself, right? After the Kohanim bless them, I will then bless them. Or am I going to bless I am blessing the Kohanim. Right? In other words, the Kohanim bless Am Yisrael, and I will bless the Kohanim. Right? If you understand it according in the latter sense, it's like Hashem gives bracha over to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim have to take from that shefa bracha and give it over to Am Yisrael. In all cases, right, the whole idea of human beings blessing others, right, is an idea of giving over. Right, I'm rushing through a very interesting topic for lack of time. There's an interesting source in Rabbeinu Bechaya says on Dvarim Perekhe Pasuk Yud, where he's addressing the idea of what is bracha, and he says, Avalashon uveirachta, right, this is talking about uveirachta, right, vechalta vesavata uveirachta, right, that after you eat, you have to bless, right, the source for Berkat HaMazon. Inyan tosefet viribui, right? Bracha has to do with excess, with having a lot of something. Vehumi lashon brecha, hanovat min hamakor, right? This is that the word bracha and brecha, a pool of water, are related to each other, and that they all come, they kind of spring forth from a source. Again, no time to go into this at depth, but it's an interesting idea connecting bracha and brecha. This I'm not sure that this etymology is accepted by all, but certainly this idea of bracha coming from plentifulness, from overflow, from shefa. Is an idea which, if not etymologically connected to bracha, certainly contextually throughout Tanakh comes up over and over again. So what we have in our mizmor is basically saying that the mizmor is basically saying that hine matov umanaim shevet achim gam yachad, right? What is the beauty of achim who are living together? It's the shefa, right? It's the giving forth one to another, which makes the dwelling of people together matov umanaim, Right? When people are living together in harmony, there's a symbiosis. Right? This goes back to the original parshanut that we looked at. Each of those relationships, Moshe and Aaron, the Melech and the Kohen Gadol, particularly Yisachar and Zvulun, the way it's described by the Malbim, is not just a cold peace, so to speak, but a relationship of giving to one another, of not only accepting one another. And again, this is particularly in the Shimon and not Shimon Levi, the Yisachar and Zvulun relationship, that what we're talking about is giving from one another, letting the shefa of one person flow into the other and back again. And that, I think, is what the Mizmor is trying to say. That only when you have brothers living together, right, in a gam yachad, truly together, right, how good and pleasant that is, because of this relationship of benefiting from one another, of allowing the goodness of one person, right, flow down upon the others, and not necessarily just from one particular person to another, but from any one person down to other people, over and over again, so that everybody benefits from everybody else. Shabbat shalom u'mivarach.